Close of Experiments, a Horrible Science Book, read by Vanna Vance, by Nick Arnold, illustrated by Tony J. Sauls. A special blast. Introduction. Welcome to Explosive Experiments. This is a book of experiments for you to try, and also a book about experiments, and a book about people who perform experiments. And because Explosive Experiments is a horrible science book, you'll be meeting quite a few horrible people, like the man who offered children dog poo to eat, the soldier who made his butler dodge bullets. Let me know if you get shot, Jeeves.
Certainly, sir.
Thick book for protection. The scientists who turned bats into flying firebombs, and some horribly weird people. The scientist who dissolved his own fingertips, the engineer who blew up his barbecue, the doctor who weighed a tree. It's a tremendous weight. And you'll be finding out about truly horrible experiments, like this one. At Yale University, USA, in 1962, a volunteer was told to give a man in the next room electric shocks. So the volunteer gave the man ever more powerful shocks. Yes, it looked like torture, and yes, the test seemed to be heading for murder. Now read on. Deadly shocks. Yale University, USA, 1962. Flip the final switch. But we've given the man too many electric shocks. You're just a volunteer. It's not your place to argue. Maybe he's been knocked out so another shock won't hurt him. I order you to flick that switch. But what if he's dead? I could be a murderer. But I'm waiting. He's mad. Perhaps he'll kill me. I've got to do it. Danger of death. So what happened next? Was the man killed by the electric shock? Was the volunteer killed by the scientist? Well, you'll find out on page 56. But now it's time to explore the explosive world of experiments. So turn the page. Oh, and don't forget your test tubes. A testing time. Imagine we're at a science conference. Scientists have come to tell one another about their work, and soon they're happily slurping tea and nattering about science. Then one of the younger scientists comes up with an explosive new idea. Slugs are smarter than spiders. But the other scientists disagree. Rubbish! Drivel! Tosh! Bunkum! The argument grows heated, and soon a fight breaks out. Struggle! Squeeze! Grab! Happily, just in time to avoid bloodshed, a wise and sensible senior scientist makes a sensible and wise suggestion. Stop! Let's try some experiments to test the idea. Very sensible. Too right. Of course. I agree. Yes, experiments can help scientists to check their pet scientific ideas and avoid scientific punch-ups. A well-planned experiment can show if their cherished ideas are correct or are just a load of moldy old codswallop. But what exactly is an experiment? Well, I'm glad you asked me that, as your teacher might say. An experiment is a practical activity designed to test a scientific idea. All experiments have to be carefully watched by scientists who record the results and often repeat tests to check the results. Experiments are very important for scientists. In the words of U.S. scientist Richard Feynman, 1918 to 1988, who developed a new theory of light, if it disagrees with experiment, then it is wrong. Think about it. No matter what your teacher tells you, if it can't be proven by experiment, it isn't a proper scientific fact. Explosive expressions. I'm having trouble with my hypothesis. Shall I call a doctor? Answer, no. Hypothesis is the posh word for scientific idea that hasn't been proven by an experiment. What's that? You know about experiments already? You've done loads of them in school? Okay, so why not check your knowledge with this tricky test? Strange science quiz. Here are 10 experiments. Some weren't totally serious. Which three are too silly even for the maddest mad scientist? As far as I know. 1. I ran along a pier and leapt into the sea. My work was just a drop in the ocean. 2. We threw cream cakes from a 6th-floor window. 3. I zapped electricity through pickle and ate it. 4. I dropped a slice of toast on the floor lots of times. 5. I bungee jumped in space. 6. We spent ages watching breakfast cereals go soggy. 7. We taught pigeons to tell the difference between the work of different artists. 8. I taught a woodlouse to read. 9. We found the chemicals that make dirty, sweaty socks smell cheesy. 10. We got soaked in the rain, tried to find out if you stay drier by running or walking to shelter. Answers 1. False. 2. True. Students at Rice University, Texas, tried this experiment to find the effects of throwing cakes from heights. It was their idea of a joke. They found the cake goes split on the ground and cracks open. Wow, that's really enlightening. 3. True. A group of U.S. engineers of the Digital Equipment Corporation did this. They said the powered-up pickle had a putrid pong, but claimed that it tasted okay. If it had been poisonous, they'd have been in a right pickle. 4. True. British scientist Robert Matthews found toast usually falls butter side down. I hope you're suitably gobsmacked. 5. False. By the way, If you fancy bungee jumping in space, you can't. Your body is weightless owing to the effects of orbiting the Earth, and you wouldn't actually fall anywhere. 6. True. A team of scientists at Norwich did this in search of what one of them described as the ultimate breakfast cereal eating experience. They ought to try eating cereal on a Monday morning when you're late for school and your dad's in the car revving the engine. Nibble, the ultimate breakfast experience. Spot the difference. The 1 minute breakfast experience. Chomp, crunch, drip. 7. True. Scientists at Keio University, Japan, taught pigeons to spot paintings by the artists Picasso and Monet. That's spot as in recognize, not spot as in pesky pigeons plopping on priceless paintings. 8. False. 9. True. A Japanese team did this. I bet their experiments left them feeling upside down. Get it? That's right, they had running noses and smelling feet. Nose, running, feet, smelling. Scientist appears to be chuckling at author's witty joke. 10. True. Two American scientists tried this. One walked and the other ran 100 meters. The walking scientists ended up 30% better. If there was a competition for silly experiments, I'd bet they'd be the reigning champions. How it all began. Now, at this point, you might wonder who invented experiments. Who inspired all these scientists to act strangely? And who's to blame for all those tedious school science experiments? Well, I suppose it all began with an ancient Egyptian king. Long before anyone had thought of science, people had to try things out by trial and error. You gave something a go, and if it worked, it worked, and if not, well, it didn't. My new arch is a masterpiece. Stone me. The idea of a careful practical test hadn't yet been thought of, but then along came an ancient Egyptian ruler, Pharaoh Psamtiki, 663 to 609 BC. The pharaoh was curious to learn whether children were born knowing how to talk or whether they needed help. So he ordered two newborn babies to be shut away with no one to talk to. He had set up the world's first experiment. Actually, it was the world's first cruel experiment, but if you were a pharaoh, you could get away with worse deeds than that. In those days, life just wasn't pharaoh. It turned out that the experiment wasn't quite as clever as it appeared. You see, the foolish pharaoh had forgotten to stop the babies hearing sounds. They heard sheep and started bleating. The woolly-minded king mistook this for talking and thought the babies were chatting in an unknown baby language. What are they saying? Bah, bah. They sound a bit sheepish. In fact, babies learn to talk by listening to adults and trying to copy them. And so it was that the world's first experiment turned out to be the world's first dead experiment. It was not to be the last. For a few hundred years, no one tried any experiments, and the pharaoh's fact-finding fix was forgotten. But the idea was so good it was reinvented. In 1269, for example, a French engineer named Pierre de Miraclet, 1220 to 1290, got bored during a war in Italy and did some experiments on magnets. He found that even if you cut a magnet up lots of times, it still has two areas where the magnetic force is stronger. We call them the North and South Poles, although you probably won't see a polar bear prancing about on a magnet. Polar bears are only found at the North Pole. This is so humiliating. Over the next few hundred years, records of experiments were as rare as caterpillars who don't like their greens. So let's fast forward to 1583. A teenager named Galileo was sitting in Pisa Cathedral, Italy, during an especially boring sermon. Can you imagine the scene? If not, just think of a school science lesson. Yeah, good point. Blah, blah, drone. A large lantern swung lazily in the breeze, and Galileo idly counted its swings. Then, with growing interest, he used his pulse to time the movements and noticed something fascinating. I bet it set his pulse racing. Galileo was a practical lad who enjoyed helping his musician dad tune instruments, and as soon as he got home from the cathedral, he tried some experiments. Could you experiment like Galileo? Here's what Galileo's notebook might have looked like. Could you copy his experiment? De pendulum mystery. So what's up with De Lantern? I figure it's swinging at a constant rate even though the length of the swings vary. But that makes no sense because you'd think that a big swing would take longer than a little swing. I'll try a little experimento to check this out. I'm sure I'll get into the swing of things. I took a latch with a second hand, some blue tack or plasticine, 36 centimeters, 18 inches of thread. What I did, 1, I rolled the ball of blue tack 1 centimeter, 0.4 inches across, just like a ball of my homemade pasta, and rolled it around one end of the thread to make a pendulum ball. 2, I used more blue tack to stick the other end of the thread to the edge of a table. 3, I swung the pendulum and using my latch timed 10 big swings and 10 little swings. Result? I was eager to know what took longer, the big swings or the little swings. Or maybe they took the same time. I found out that... Oops, sorry readers, looks like the rest of the notebook had been lost. If you want to know what happened, you'll have to try the experiment for yourself. A letter from a famous historian. Dear Horrible Science, the so-called notebook of Galileo appears to be a forgery because plasticine, blue tack, and wristwatches hadn't been invented at this time. As I explained in my 596-page biography of Galileo, he used his pulse to time the experiment. Also, I should point out, 25 pages left out here. Yours faithfully, I.B. Very boring. So did you discover the result of Galileo's experiment? Answer. If the length of the pendulum stays the same, every swing will take the same time, no matter how big the swing. This is why if you sit on a swing and swing gently, you'll move slowly, but when you swing high, you'll move faster. Try it and you'll see. Little swing equals same time as big swing. Tum-ti-tum. Spew. Although Galileo had begun the experiment because he was curious about the lantern, he ended up discovering the principle that allows grandfather clocks to keep time. Grandfather clock keeps perfect time. Swinging pendulum. Tick-tock. This grandfather loses track of time. What day is it? The experiment finally launched the idea of using experiments to show the laws of science, a tradition that still inspires scientists today. And all because a youngster got bored. Does that mean you'll make a great discovery during a boring science lesson? Bet you never knew. People thought you could cook an egg by wrapping it in a scarf and whirling it around your head. This was a daft old story that no one had thought to test. Maybe they reckoned the egg would be cooked by the force of the movement. Although Galileo was a hard-boiled scientist, he actually tried this experiment. Those who believed the story were left with egg on their face when it remained raw. Here we go. Whee! Should be cooked by now. Splat. Sadly, we don't have enough space to tell the story of every boffin who performed an experiment, but there should be a special mention for the scientists who enjoyed showing off their skills in public. 200 years ago, going to see an experiment was more popular than going to the cinema. Actually, that's not so surprising, as the cinema hadn't been invented yet. I like a good tearjerker. Yeah, that gas did get a bit out of control. One place to go is the Royal Institution in London, where Michael Faraday, 1791-1867, was the big star. Today, Faraday is famous for inventing an early electric motor. But in his day, he's famous for his public experiments. In one of them, Faraday stood in a cage with metal-covered bars as 100,000 volts of electricity ran around it. The cage sparked and crackled, but the power only ran through the metal, and the scientist was safe inside. One spectator, Lady Jane Pollock, was electrified with excitement. There was a gleam in his eye that no painter could copy and no poet describe. Have you ever seen your science teacher's eyes gleam? We're not talking about the evil glint that appears just before a science test. Now, I bet you're itching to wire up your hamster's cage and throw a few electrical switches, but if you want to act like a real scientist, you'll need to experiment properly. So first, read these rules. They're so important that we've carved them into stone at great expense to the publishers, and to my toe. Experiment rules. 1. Read the experiment instructions before you start. 2. Make sure you've got all the equipment you need. 3. If the experiment is messy, always do it outside or on old newspaper. 4. Try to guess the result of the experiment before you start. 5. Don't forget to record your results and try to explain what happened. 6. If the experiment doesn't work, try it again. There might be a good scientific reason for the failure, and you might be the first to discover it. 7. Clean up the mess afterwards, or you'll get dirty looks from the rest of the family. 8. Always follow the safety code. Crunch. Yes, the safety code. This is a set of rules so essential that it's become a kind of sacred relic handed down through generations of terrible scientists. Sadly, it's a bit dog-eared now, but it's still vital. So make sure you read this next bit. Ye old safety code. Follow these laws when doing ye experiments, and ye shall come to no harm. Break ye laws, and ye may suffer death and loss of pocket money. 1. Once ye have mixed ye chemicals, or prepared ye experiment, always label it so ye family knows what it is. Put it in a safe place out of reach of ye baby brother or sister. 2. When you've finished ye experiment, wash ye chemicals down the sink before ye baby brother slash sister glugs them down. 3. Always wash ye hands after handling chemicals. Failure to obey this rule may mean ye have to eat ye bar of soap. 4. Never, 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 10 million more nevers here, use power sockets for ye electricity experiments, including copying Michael Faraday. Ignore this rule and ye may end up like Faraday. That's right, you'll be just as dead as he is. 5. Get an adult to help with ye cutting, boiling, and heating experiments, otherwise ye may end up in hot water. 6. Do not practice ye experiments on brothers, sisters, vicars, parents, or family pets without asking them first. Ye may practice on ye teachers, just so long as ye don't inflict too much pain. Cheers! Look out for the learning signs. Horribly family learning. Learns you not to be antisocial. Horrible danger learning. Tells you what the hazard is and learns you to be ever so careful. Horrible mess learning. Learns you of messy experiments. Horrible difficulty learning. Tells you why an experiment is getting a bit tricky. You may need to recruit an adult to help with these bits. Put off yet? Oh well, don't be. Help is on its way. An important announcement. At vast expense, Herbal Sciences bribed a team of top scientific experts to show us their laboratory notebooks with experiments you can try yourself. And that's not all. After some friendly persuasion involving large rolls of banknotes, they've even agreed to write some experiment quizzes for this book. They'll be popping up later in this book, but here's the first chance to meet them. Cheese, Dr. Grimgrave, the world's most miserable medic. Is this photo really necessary? Professor Funkenstein has spent years on top-secret brain experiments. How mind-bogglingly nice to meet you. Dr. Will D. Beast is an adventurous outdoor face in the dung naturalist. I'm wild to meet you. Miss Esmeralda Perkins is a chemistry teacher and keen experimenter who will try anything once. Hi there, kids. Professor M. Large will be enlarging on forces. Greetings. Wanda Wise, multi-talented energy and sound experiment. Hello, everyone. All-round genius Professor Buzzoff is an inventor who studies electricity, magnetism, and light, and rumor has it she's an artist. Hello. What a wonderfully intense electromagnetic spectrum we have today. We'll begin with Dr. Grimgrave's medical experiments. Hey, shh. Be quiet for a moment. Can you hear that noise? Drip, 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 drip. It sounds like blood dripping from the dead bodies in the next chapter. Yes, it's time to get to grips with grisly, gut-wrenching human body bits experiments. Murderous medical experiments. Guess what? You don't need any complicated equipment for this chapter. You've got everything you need in the shape of one fully functioning, multi-purpose, self-repairing living organism with logic control center. In other words, your body. Huh? 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 Doctors, like Dr. Grimgrave, know all about how the body works and why it makes revolting noises and smells. But how do they know all this? The answer is that all doctors do medical experiments as part of their training, and here's some facts about these tests to store near Logic Control Center. Explosive Experiments Fact File. Name medical experiments. The basic facts. 1. Scientists need to test living bodies to find out if medical drugs work and to discover how the body works. Well, it was a living body when I started the tests. 2. Usually they experiment on animals like mice and monkeys. In the last few years, some tests have been tried on human skin that has been grown in the laboratory. Explosive details. 1. Some scientists have performed experiments on their own bodies or on volunteers. Take 6 of these hair growth pills each day. A week later, make that one a day. 2. But sometimes people were forced to take part in deadly experiments. Read on for the fatal facts. One of the first scientists to perform medical experiments was a daring doctor who once had to dodge cannonballs. His name was, Terrible Science Hall of Fame, William Harvey, 1578 to 1657. Nationality, English. William Harvey was born on April Fool's Day, and if that wasn't bad enough, he had 6 brothers. Would you want 6 horrible brothers playing stupid tricks and ruining your birthday? William studied medicine, and as part of his training, he went to lectures and watched dead bodies being cut up. This was a popular form of entertainment, and people flocked to see the grisly spectacle. Oh well, the more the merrier. Eventually, William got to be the royal doctor to King Charles I of Britain. This was an exciting job because the king was at war with his own parliament, and in 1632, William was watching a battle with the king's sons. Cannonballs whizzed uncomfortably close, and the doctor and the princes ended up cowering under a muddy hedge. In William's day, doctors believed that blood was made in the liver and ebbed and flowed through the veins like the sea. William was convinced this was a vain idea, because there was no way the body could make all the blood that passed through the heart in just a few minutes. The blood had to be squirting around the body all the time. I think I've got to the heart of the problem. Influenced by Galileo, whom he met in Italy, Harvey decided to try some experiments, and he worked on them from 1616 to 1628. He cut open living animals, but allowed their hearts to carry on beating so he could watch. Sometimes he tied up the blood vessels to match which way the blood was flowing. Hurry up! Harvey found that the blood flows out of the heart in blood vessels called arteries and returns in veins, the wider, thin-walled tubes. There's a separate loop that takes the blood from the heart to the lungs and back again before it's pumped around the body. Here's how he might have explained his work. A bloody science lesson. I squeeze the veins of the arm and blood returns to the heart, but it can't move in the other direction. Valves in the veins prevent this. Ouch, I'm feeling a pinch. I tie a cord around the arm to block the arteries. I'm in a tight spot. The arteries swell up above the cord. It bleeding well hurts. This proves the arteries take blood away from the heart. I've got a dead arm. Don't worry, it's an armless experiment. Bet you never knew. William Harvey's experiments convinced doctors he was right about the blood going around the body, but other scientists had already made the same discovery. Arab doctor Ibn M. Nafis was the first in 1232. At the time, Arab medicine was the best in the world, but news of the breakthrough never reached Europe. Later, Italian Rialdo Colombo, 1560 to 1559, and Spanish writer Miguel Cervantes, 1511 to 1553, made the same discovery. Servetus fought with religious leader John Calvin over his religious ideas. Calvin had the scientist arrested, tied to a stake, and burnt alive. Let's hope he liked his steak well done. Scientific villains. Some scientists have performed medical tests on unwilling human victims. During the Second World War, German doctors performed revolting and painful experiments on concentration camp prisoners. The victims were told to cooperate or be killed. Experiments include drinking seawater, breathing poison gas, and being forced to endure freezing cold. Wanted for a murder, Sigmund Rascher. Achievement, nothing useful to science. Method, putting people into chambers in which most of the air was taken out to find out what might happen to a person in a plane at a great height. The victims died after suffering extreme pain. You might be pleased to learn that, sickened by his evil deeds, Rascher turned against his masters and the ruling Nazi Party. He joined an anti-Nazi plot, but in 1934, he was arrested and sent to a concentration camp. No, he wasn't experimented on, but he was executed soon afterwards. Several other scientists involved in the experiments were put to death after Germany lost the war in 1935. So you'd like to try your hand at a few medical experiments? Well, okay, just so long as you don't use your little brother or sister as a guinea pig. Guinea pig. Squeak! Eek, little brother. Here's a few experiments for you to try from the notebook of the grumpiest physician ever, Dr. Grimgrave. You should know that Dr. Grimgrave makes Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde look like Mr. Laurel and Mr. Hardy. So no giggles for the rest of this chapter, okay? Medical Experiments by Dr. Grimgrave. Introduction. Disease and death are everyday events for a busy doctor like me. But what bugs me are the idiots who come to see me when they aren't really ill. One day a man said he thought he was invisible, so I told him I couldn't see him today, ha ha. Performing experiments is far more rewarding than dealing with these tiresome time wasters. Confused temperature. What I needed. 3 bowls, one with hot water from the tap, one with cold water, and one with tepid, mixed hot and cold water. To make it a fair test, the bowls must be the same size. A rascher with a second hand. Horrible danger warning. Hot water from the tap can be horribly hot. The water should be comfortably hot, not scalding hot. What I did. I dipped one hand in a hot bowl and one hand in the cold bowl for 45 seconds. The cold makes the hand ache a little, but cold water never killed anyone. I should know. I start each morning with a bracing cold shower. 2. I placed both hands in the tepid bowl. Result. The tepid water felt hot to my cold hand and cold to my hot hand. Hot, cold. Remarks. Hot and cold feelings are picked up by temperature sensors in the skin. This test proves that the sensors don't always tell you the real temperature. They tell you whether it feels hotter or colder than your skin. Liar.